obviously, we're excited to be here. Excited to advance in this tournament and have a chance to keep playing. Obviously, Alabama is a great team, super well coached, and tall task for us. But have our guys feel like we're in a really good mental place, and we're just excited to get to the game.
Take questions at this time. We'll start here in the front row middle.
Rich Harris from Hoops Prospects. Coach, I thought you have done a masterful job of using your substitutes, and you're as deep as Alabama, really. You go about 11 deep. It seems to me that the pattern has changed in an attempt to improve your defense, I'd say over maybe the last 15 games or so. Is that true, and what is the method to your madness?
It's definitely madness because I wasn't planning on playing 11 guys this late in the year, but you usually go the other way. But I think it's just learning the group, honestly. It's obviously a new team. College is new for me, so there was a lot of things that just the whole season has been a huge learning curve for me. As it relates to some of the things you mentioned with defense and stuff, it's turning to that. Yeah, I mean, we feel like, Mawut came in and gave us, kind of somebody who we can put on a other team's best, perimeter player oftentimes. And then, Trey Stewart's been able to kind of come in and spell him at times to do that. So we feel like we've always got somebody out there, athletically that can compete with some of the dynamic guards that you got to face. So that's helped. I think just overall, playing as many guys as we have all year, particularly in the last, like you said, 15 games or so, I think it's probably been one of the biggest things that's helped our season just in terms of our togetherness. Everyone, has pushed each other in practice, and everybody knows that they're going to get a chance to go out and help contribute the game. And I think that in and of itself is really, like I said, brought the guys closer together and gave us a real lift.
Stay here in the front row, and then we'll go to second row. Then we'll go to the other side. Adam?
Hey, Kevin. Adam Zagoria from NJ.com. How you doing? Welcome to Newark. You mentioned the learning curve. Just what are some of the advantages, I guess, of your NBA background? How do you think that's helped you in college? How much of the NBA stuff are you able to use? And how much do you think it helps you recruit, elite players that you have that background?
I think probably where it's helped the most is I'm big on reference points. And so in the NBA, I was fortunate to be pretty much every year in the NBA. I was on a good team that made it to the playoffs and oftentimes deep runs in the playoffs. And so by virtue of that, you're putting together 100-game plans a season. You're part of that and obviously geared towards stopping the best players in the world. And so, I reference many of those game plans often with our coaching staff and with our players. I think it, when you can say, oh, hey, this is how we stopped Dame Lillard, or this is how we stopped, whoever, that kind of gives them the bright eyes and they listen a little bit more. So that's been definitely one area. I think there's some other areas too. A lot of the spacing in the NBA, I think, is a lot different than it is in college. It's something that, I was huge on when I was in the NBA, and that's helped us for sure. Style of play, shot diet, things like that. I think that's probably where you see a lot of what we do. It's similar to some NBA operations. In terms of recruiting, I kind of planted the flag when I got the job and said I wanted to make BYU the best place in all of college basketball to help guys get to the league. And so I think we're off to a good start there. I think Richie Saunders is a prime example of, just our development structure. It's not just me. I've got, our head strength coach with the Bucks for 8 years. I brought a nutritionist with me from the Suns. A director of analytics came with me from the Suns. I got two guys who were former G League head coaches on my staff. The fucking GAs that played pro for a long time. And so our whole operation is basically designed to have a development background. And then when I'm able to kind of tell the story of, guys I've coached or experiences I've had, at certain
Let's go second row, and then we'll go across.
Yeah, Kevin, Rustin Dodd from The Athletic. Same topic, but slightly different. You know, in this era of college sports, and you've been in the NBA a long time, is there a difference between the ways you coach professional players from like a leadership perspective or holding guys accountable compared to the way you handle college guys?
I mean, I would say, at least with the group we have, I can't speak for other teams, but I mean, it is a little bit easier to hold guys accountable just because they're not opinionated. You know, they don't have as much life experience or basketball experience to, you know, bark back as much. And that's no knock on the NBA. I mean, I didn't really run into a whole lot of problems with it, quite frankly, in the NBA. I mean, those guys are pros. They want to win. And that league, you can prove to the players
you can help them win, they're going to listen to you, bottom line. And so that's what I tried to make my mark on, it just being as studied as I could so that when I said something, the guys would believe it and they would buy into it. Now, in terms of here, similar thing. You know, guys want to win. And so if you can kind of prove to them that, you know, what you're preaching is going to ultimately help them win as a team and then also individually, you know, help themselves become a better player, then that's how you get the buy-in. And so in a lot of ways, it's the same. I do think it's a little bit probably easier in college.
Go to the other side. We'll start in the front row.
Eric Jackson with Sportico. Hey, Kevin. Question. Obviously, you have driven a lot of momentum since you've been there with BYU, but curious how much credit you think the donor base deserves for some of that success, aiding in recruitment and other resources.
I mean, if you can show me a school who donor bases don't deserve credit, I'm all ears, you know? I mean, that's just what it is. You know, people make a lot of that in today's landscape, but I think anymore, that's the starting point. You know, that's not a separator, in my opinion. It's not, especially as things are changing, right? Even more when, you know, that stuff starts getting a little bit more regulated. You know, it's not going to be a needle mover. It's going to be the starting point. And so that being said, one of the reasons I wanted to come to BYU was because of the fan base, donor base in general. You know, that I know a lot of people have school pride, but I think BYU is unmatched, quite frankly, just in terms of how much people love, you know, the school, what it stands for, and the amount of alumni that have come out of BYU who are extremely successful, many of which still live out in Utah. If anyone's been out there, you drive south on I-15 from Salt Lake and you just see startup after startup, tech company, successful person after successful person, and those people, most of them went to BYU. And so this place is set up to succeed. I'm definitely riding the wave of a lot of that. But again, I think it's so much more than that. Like, I think what you're seeing, I think anyway, in college sports is you gotta have the whole package. You can't just have one part of it. You gotta be able to, you know, have the funds. You gotta be able to have a blueprint. You gotta be able to have systems. You gotta be able to have player development. You gotta be able to have a style of play. And that's what we're trying to do, is to check all those boxes.
Go to the second row on that same side.
Hey, Kevin. Alex Schiff from Front Office Sports. I got a two-parter for you. Going back to the NBA, you were one of the rare assistants last year to take a college job. And if you look in the past few weeks, there's been three or four guys who have done the same thing. Just what did you kind of make of what you did becoming more of a trend? And you mentioned the NBA part, but a couple of those guys mentioned that they almost feel like G League jobs and college jobs are pretty similar now. Since you were in the G League, does that resonate with you?
I'm happy that, you know, I'm friends with most of the guys that you mentioned. I talk to most, you know, most of them, actually. So I'm happy that they're getting opportunities to be head coaches and get some stability, you know, for their families. I think that's probably one of the biggest differences in coaching in college versus the NBA is the stability piece. So they're great jobs for that reason alone. So I'm happy for those guys. In terms of the G League, I mean, I was in that league for a long time as a head coach of three different G League teams, and it was a lot different. When I'm actually like the old guy in the room a lot of times now, because that was the D League back in the day when I was doing it. It is similar because, you know, like the way you get players is somewhat similar. You know, the type of people you're dealing with is somewhat similar. The year-to-year nature of the G League back then, I mean, when I was doing it, it was like week to week. Your best player would get called up on game day, and you'd go out there and play with six guys, and you have to figure it out. But But I think the turnover is similar. I mean, you can draw comparisons for sure to the NBA, the G League, and college, but I think more and more, like, all those worlds are starting to merge together with similarities.
We're going to go row four on this side, and then we're going to go across row three.
I'm Michael Cohen from Fox Sports. Kevin, with the exposure that you had to players from different countries in the NBA and the G League, the backgrounds that those players had, and learning about sort of what a player is like when they come up through international basketball versus the United States, has that influenced the way you wanted to put together your rosters at all at BYU both this year and as you look ahead to future classes?
I don't know if that particular experience did that. I think, you know, I was always, you know, thought BYU was a place that could recruit internationally. Just there's a lot of international flavor at BYU. Like, a lot of students, you know, go on missions and come back from a million different countries. And like Yegor's joked a bunch about how many people like speak Russian in Provo. You know what I mean? So I thought, you know, it's a unique place. And so recruiting internationally, because there's also a lot of connection because of BYU internationally. You know, like, I could probably call someone anywhere in the world that, and there's going to be a BYU connection. So that was an intrigue. As it relates to, you know, coaching other European players, I mean, we play a pretty heavy pick-and-roll style of play. You know, I think that's where Yegor has been really good. Clearly has been developed over there with understanding pick-and-roll reads. So that for sure was of interest and will continue to be of interest. And that's probably where I'd say that's kind of stood out the most.
All right, we'll do row three right here and then the next two right there. Nope, light blue.
Matt Rybaltowski with Forbes. Hey, Kevin, congrats on the great season. There are multiple sports betting scandals in the NBA and college basketball right now, but Utah is a little unique in that it might be the last state to legalize nationwide. So because of that, are your players sort of immune to what's going on? Just what's your macro view of sports betting in this new environment?
It's not really something that's on my radar that much, honestly. Obviously aware of, you know, my take on stuff like that is I just do what they tell me to do and try not to, you know, muddy the waters in any way. I mean, it was a big deal when I was in the NBA. They'd come in and talk to us for hours about can't tell people who's started or who's hurt, this, that, the other. Honestly, I'm a little surprised that college isn't more that way, you know, like starting lineups as an example. I'm like, you know, 5 minutes before the game, you find out who started, you know, stuff like that. Like, I think as it relates to just more and more of that infiltrating into college sports, I would think it would become a little bit more regulated like the pro stuff is. But as it relates to our players, you know, we've had several meetings with our, like, administration that kind of explains how things go there. You know, BYU is not immune to stuff like that. I know there was some things in the past that have happened there, but we just try to educate our guys and just make sure that they're playing by the rules as a, you know, when you come to that kind of topic.
Third row in the middle, and then we'll go to Dan. We're coming from the other side.
Hey, Coach, Gina Mizell from the Philadelphia Inquirer. One of your past coaching stops, obviously, was right down the road, both with the Sixers and with the G League affiliate. I'm just wondering, when you sort of look back on that time of your career, how formative was it for you, and maybe what are some of the lessons from those specific years that maybe you're still holding and applying now?
Yeah, good to see you, first of all. Second of all, yeah, I'd say in a lot of ways, not just basketball. I mean, my wife and my oldest son flew on this trip with me, and I had my daughter's, shout out to Jersey, she was born in New Jersey. One of my sons was born in Delaware as well. So this is a special part of the country, you know, for me on a personal level. A lot of unbelievable memories out this way. But in terms of my basketball, yeah, I'd say it was probably just, not probably, it was the most important time of my life as a young coach. You know, Brett Brown was the head coach of the Sixers. He's by far my most influential coach that I've worked with and for. Brilliant guy. I don't think he gets enough credit for how good of a coach he is, and an even better CEO. I mean, I learned so much from him from a leadership standpoint. Many of the things I do now are because of the things I learned from him. And that was a unique time going through that rebuild. You know, I got there at the start of kind of the process or whatever, and I saw the whole thing through pretty much. So, the thing that maybe doesn't get discussed enough during that era was how many really good basketball people came through there. I mean, everyone that I was with there is, I mean, there's GMs, there's multiple head coaches. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who have moved up in the world, you know, on the coaching side. A couple guys that are, you know, on Boston's bench now. I mean, guys have won championships. I mean, you go down the list. So clearly Brett was and Sam were the leaders of that. But I think that crew of guys, I mean, we're all still really, really close. And we all, you know, learn from each other. And super invaluable time for me, for sure.
Do one final question there in the third row.
Dan Gelson, Associated Press. A lot's been made about the fact that there aren't really any Cinderellas in this, you know, in the Sweet 16. Do you feel, you know, given the greater influence of booster money, NLI money, that we might see a change in the way the tournament goes from here on out? You think the Cinderella is kind of going to be phased out from here on out?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I knew. I'm still so new to this. I don't really know what to make a lot of it. I mean, in a lot of ways, you could say we're a Cinderella. I mean, we were picked ninth in the Big 12, and we're in the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? I know we're in a power conference, but I definitely think it speaks to, you know, how hard mid-majors have it because everyone's coming to get their play. It's not even that people are coming to get their players. Their players are – kids are smart. You know what I mean? They see what's out there, and they think that they can – better than their situation by going in the portal and maybe going to a bigger school that could, you know, offer more to them. So, you know, like anything, I think things have a way of they work themselves out. People learn to, whatever the rules of engagement are, people are going to learn how to play them to their, you know, their advantage. I'm sure, you know, the mid-majors will you know, kind of figure out how to work around the way things currently are. So I don't, you know, just – on a personal level, no, I don't think the Cinderella idea is done. I think maybe it's just more of a coincidence perhaps this year, but who knows?
Is it really a staple of the team's diet or not really?
I'm glad we got Tots in at the last question, but I was actually mad it took as long as it did. One, for me to find out about the connection with the Tots. I'm a huge Tot guy. So, and then our nutritionist that was with me with the Suns, who I brought here, three meals ago, we finally had Tots at the meal table. So I was glad that we finally got those for the whole team. But, you know, what a cool story. And Richie's an unbelievable guy. So I'm happy that his play, number one, is kind of what's gotten him in the limelight. And then the Tots is like a huge bonus for sure for everybody.
Coach, appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll have the BYU student athletes in just a second.